The best trips don't just take you somewhere new. They change the way you see the world. On Wayfinder Life-Changing Travel, uncover the delights of every destination across city hideaways and crystal blue shores. Sponsored by Season 2 launch partner, Fiji Airways.
When it comes to a stopover, people don't recognize the value until they actually do it. So I wanted to see how stopping off in Fiji and doing my buffer there instead of going straight back to Sydney, how that shifted me into the mentality and got me ready for going back to real life. And, you know, the best cure for anxiety is feeling nurtured and calm and taken care of. And I think Fijian hospitality lends into that quite well. Fiji kind of wraps around you in a way that's warmer than everywhere else. I think it's because the culture grew up centered by community.
Listen to brand new episodes of Wayfinder Life-Changing Travel on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Studios in Houston, Texas. Quicken Loans. Take advantage of historic low rates. Go to Rocket Mortgage today. Here's your host, 6'1", former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back to hour number two at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show, where weekends, they always start early. And we are so thrilled you have made it a point to join us on this Friday night. Of course, all of our guests are joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. And tonight we are inside the Quicken Loans Studios right here in Houston. And our Super Bowl 51 recap, it continues. We talked a lot about it in hour number one, and we are so delighted to introduce our next guest, as I know you're going to truly enjoy hearing from him. He played 12 years with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He had an outstanding NFL career, and that is the Steelers' former cornerback in Ike Taylor. Good evening, Ike.
Good evening, Miss Alyssa. How you doing?
I'm doing great. So good to have you on the program for the very first time. And you know what it's like to be in the big game because you walked away with two Super Bowl titles as a Pittsburgh Steeler. And we've got a lot to get into. But first and foremost, give us your takeaways from Super Bowl 51. How in the world did the Atlanta Falcons squander a 25-point lead, the largest in Super Bowl history?
Not running the ball. And that's how I felt. And I always felt like, and I get it from Coach LeBeau, man. Coach LeBeau said it best. Offensive coordinators, they have tendencies. And what's their tendencies? They want good resumes. So how you have a good resume? You have a good resume by your quarterback throwing for 4,000 or 5,000 yards a season. What the New England Patriots did, and they did at the right time, they ran the ball when needed. Of course, Tom Brady threw the ball 62 times, but that's Tom Brady. I just felt like in the second half, regardless on what the score was, you're up by 25, you run the ball, so you give Tom Brady and company no time. Freeman, at the same time, had 11 carries for 74 yards. So why not give him 11 more carries, and we don't know what happened towards the end of the game. Now, what you do when you run the ball, you control the clock. And they had a good game plan throwing the ball, I mean running the ball, Atlanta. So I looked at it, you know, we call it a four-minute offense. So you get three possessions, you run in a four-minute offense, you're taking time off the clock. So now the New England Patriots have to burn their timeouts. So now the New England Patriots don't have time to come back. Of course, you did a good job of passing the ball. We all know what Julio Jones can do. Matty Ice had an MVP season, but you're talking to the super MVP and Tom Brady. So just with offensive coordinators and their tendencies, the resume, you know, looks good when they have an outstanding quarterback. You give the ball to Devontae Freeman, and he has 25 carries for 150 yards and two touchdowns. You might have came out the game with a win. But, of course, you know, they kind of get into the quarterback-quarterback duo. It's tough getting into that quarterback duo with Tom Brady. So, as coordinators, man, regardless on what the score is and their tendencies, sometimes you just got to go with the flow of the game. And I felt like the flow of the game should have been running in the second half. Why run the ball? because it takes the air out of the defense. Guys get tired of tackling running backs. From the secondary to the linebacker position, it's just too much of wear and tear. You control the clock. You enforce your will. You do all them things to help you win the ball game. Atlanta defense has been on the field. They had 93 plays, 92 or 93 plays.
Mm-hmm.
If you ran the ball for the majority of the time during the second half, they wouldn't have been so tired. So now they become a situational defense. So now when it's time to get to the pass rusher, they're not so gassed. So that's what my take on that Super Bowl was. Of course, Tom Brady is Tom Brady. But when you give him them opportunities, he's going to come out successful. That's what he's been doing for his whole career. It's just, I feel like if you ran the ball, he wouldn't have had time to came back.
Two-time Super Bowl winner and former standout cornerback who played for the Pittsburgh Steelers for 12 seasons, the great Ike Taylor, is with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line, comparing rates to help you save. Now, that is Progressive. So is there collective blame, or is there one person that you point to that should have made better decisions? Who do we put the blame on?
You know, I don't like putting the blame on anybody. Football is a collective agreement. So it's, you know, special teams, offense, and defense. But for that offense, you know, to have that large of a lead, I felt like if you ran the ball, you would have took enough time off of Tom Brady and company not to come back. But since you passed the ball, certain things happen when you pass the ball. Interceptions happen. Tip balls happen. Fumbles happen. Sacks happen.
Mm-hmm.
And all those things happen. Well, the tip ball didn't happen. The fumble didn't happen. But the sacks happened. So the sacks took y'all field goal range. So instead of being up by 16, you would have been up by 19. Worst case scenario. So now Tom Brady and company don't have time to come back.
Mm-hmm.
But when you keep giving this man too many opportunities, it's been too many times he came out successful.
So how do you think the Falcons, how do they come to grips with such a devastating and historic loss?
You got to come back and win it. That's the only way you come back to grips with this thing. And the crazy thing about football is you never know if you're going to ever get back to that situation. I mean, of course, in my career, I think I've been in 3 Super Bowls in 10 years. That Super Bowl loss to Green Bay hurt me the worst. I still, to this moment, think about that Super Bowl loss. So you don't come to grips off a loss in the Super Bowl unless you win one.
You hear former players that have been in the Super Bowl game and they have not been able to win. For you, did you go back and review that game tape? Some players say they can't even go back and watch the tape because it is so painful.
Not at all. It ain't the painful part about it. It's just all the time, the effort, the mental exhaustion.
Right.
What people got to understand, losing the Super Bowl, you're mentally drained because everything is physical. For the most part, everybody got dealt towards physical attributes. But, man, it's the mental part because you don't want to be that guy to lose the Super Bowl. But at the same time, it's just more mental than anything.
Two-time Super Bowl winner with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ike Taylor. He's on our show for the very first time at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, the fastest 2 hours in radio. We'd love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports, and you can go back and listen to our entire interview, an exclusive one with Ike Taylor, at podcastarena.com, podcastarena.com. He is an NFL analyst. He's done a nice job, nice transition, a sweet bounce for him from his playing days, 12 years with the Steelers. But talk to me about what was your pick going into the game? Did you ultimately believe that the Patriots, they would be the team that would prevail and come out on top?
Oh, yeah.
What did you think?
Oh, yeah. I had the Patriots the whole time. I mean, if you just look at from my other interviews, that's the guy I was picking. Like, it's hard to go against the GOAT and Tom Brady. And you could just see he got it on his mind.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is Super Bowls after Super Bowls after Super Bowls. The man is never satisfied. He's never not hungry. You know, I feel like he has a tapeworm in his career. He wants more. He wants more Super Bowls, more Super Bowls, more Super Bowls. And you can just tell, not only by Tom, by his teammates, how he make his teammates better. And talking to Uncle Prime is prime time, Deion Sanders. It's like he said the best, man, Tom Brady can go to a park and say, give me you, and you for the offseason, and maybe we might have a chance to win a Super Bowl. other quarterbacks have first-round receivers, first- and second-round running backs. Now, on the flip side, we always, what if in Tom Brady? What if Tom Brady had Antonio Brown? What if Tom Brady had A.J. Green? What if Tom Brady had Julio Jones? He don't. So he's able to make a Wes Walker, an Amendola, Julian Edelman. They're able to get LeGarrette Blount, who's been on different teams, including the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, they get journeymen, and it fits their system. They get hard-nosed guys who buy into the system, but it starts with Tom Brady. All you got to do is listen to Coach Bill Belichick post-game conference. Like, Tom Brady gives 110% mentally and physically, and he demands every ounce the same way with his teammates. So when he said, you know, I felt like Jamel White should have been the MVP, that's beautiful as a teammate. Mm-hmm. As a teammate, that hits hard because you got a future Hall of Famer ASAP saying, you know what, I don't mind this Super Bowl MVP, but I felt like White should have got it. So White going to forever remember that. So in the offseason, what White going to do? White going to enjoy the Super Bowl. He's going to bust his butt in the offseason, and he's going to want the same feeling. He's going to want to get back to the Super Bowl. That's what you get when you're dealing with the Tom Brady.
Our Super Bowl 51 recap continues at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, with two-time Super Bowl champion Ike Taylor after this quick timeout.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. It is Friday night, and we are going one-on-one with two-time Super Bowl champion Ike Taylor. That's right, we are breaking it all down. A full recap of that historic win by the Patriots. Ike, you brought up head coach Bill Belichick because I have to wonder, don't you wonder about what he said to his team at halftime and what was going through their mind with such a massive deficit?
Ain't much needed to be said. I mean, you down, but he said he felt like they were never out, and I felt like they were never out. And then when I saw the Falcons passing the ball, I really felt like they were never out. And that's the craziest thing about it.
Two-time Super Bowl champ Ike Taylor with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. And Ike, so much attention to Atlanta. This is a team, an offensive juggernaut. But let's talk about the Patriots. And how big of a challenge is it to cover Julian Edelman?
Oh, man, he's a gritty. I think he's a top five receiver. He don't give the recognition he needs to get. Edelman does it all. If you watch that last play in OT, what Edelman did, that's a want-to with the receiver. And what's that want-to? Wanting to block a defensive end or a linebacker so your running back can score. And we say the same thing as a cornerback position. Mm-hmm. Tackling is a want-to. You got to want to do that. Why? Because it shows on tape. If an offensive coordinator see a cornerback not willing to tackle, he's going to like his matchup or he's going to put his offense in a situation to make that cornerback tackle. Same way as blocking for a receiver, you know. And that was a want-to for Julian Edelman. And it showed week in and week out, this guy does all the dirty work. At the same time, he catches critical passes in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Traffic mean going across the middle, going across linebackers, going across hard-hitting safeties, knowing you might take some kind of punishment, but willing to sacrifice your body. I look at Julian Edelman as riding a bicycle across the interstate. How scary is that?
Yeah.
But that's the kind of guy, uh-huh, and that's the kind of receivers the New England Patriots have over there.
Oh, he had some incredible catches for the Patriots, but we got to give some love to Julio Jones for the Falcons. He said, "Did you remember this challenge that he put out there that no one could cover him one-on-one? You were one of the all-time best cornerbacks as a defender. Could you cover him?"
Well, you know, my days are over with.
Come on, Ike.
My days are over with. I got to give Julio his props. I call Julio Jones, a.k.a. Avatar.
Uh-huh.
He's just a little bit different from everybody else. So he's a special player, and he showed the few catches he had in the Super Bowl why you need to double team or maybe triple team him for the majority of the time.
Why is he such a special player? What makes him so difficult to defend?
Height, size, and speed. You know, when you got a guy with height, size, and speed and fearless it's hard to cover those guys. Usually tall guys, they run on the sideline, or they might come in the middle every blue moon. Julio Jones does it all. He can run past you on a go route. Mm-hmm. He can run a post route towards the safety, or he can go across the middle towards the linebackers. He has a fearless factor. That's what makes him so special. And we're not even going to talk about how strong his hands is, his catch ability, how high he can jump. Man, that just adds a whole other dimension to a football player, Julio Jones, a.k.a. Avatar.
The great Ike Taylor with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Two-time Super Bowl champ. He knows exactly what it takes to make it happen. So I've got to talk to you about this while we've got you on the show tonight. Ike, who is the most difficult wide receiver that you ever had to cover? And what were some of those challenges?
Antonio Brown. In practice, I saw Antonio Brown coming a mile away. Like, when he was doing scout team reps, you know, he made my job easier on Sundays by going against him in practice. That's how special this kid is. This kid gets in and out of his breaks, gets in and out of his routes better than anyone. You can cover Antonio Brown, and he's still going to catch the ball. See, what I like about Antonio Brown is he's not 6'4". He's not 6'2". Usually these high height guys, the A.J. Greens, the Julio Jones, the Mike Evans, they have height. Antonio Brown ain't got none of that. He has heart, he has precise routes, and he demands the ball, and you see what he can do. By the way, also, he's an all-pro returner if he returns the ball week in and week out.
Two-time Super Bowl winner with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ike Taylor. He's on our show for the very first time at SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show, the fastest 2 hours in radio. We'd love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter, at eRadioSports, and you can go back and listen to our entire interview, an exclusive one with Ike Taylor, at podcastarena.com, podcastarena.com. Well, Antonio Brown certainly did, as you're talking about, Ike. He's an outstanding player. He had an outstanding season, but he also had to learn some hard lessons after that live stream of Mike Tomlin, head coach, post-game speech. What do you think he can do to try to regain trust with the coaches and with his players? He realizes he's admitted that it was a foolish mistake. What can he do, though?
I'll tell you what. Don't we all make mistakes when we're young?
That's right.
And that's what people got to understand. Like, it's a social media-driven society right now, especially in football. So AB got caught up in the moment. He apologized for it. But I tell people all the time, let's not act like we was all the way angels since the day we was born. So Antonio Brown made a mistake. He apologized for it. I'm sure it won't happen again. But I tell you what you won't do. You won't trade Antonio Brown for another receiver.
Hey, Ike, did you have an opportunity to reach out to him, kind of encourage him and offer him perhaps some advice?
I just talked to AB, man. AB like a little brother to me, man. AB know what he's doing, man. One thing about AB, I don't think nobody works harder than Antonio Brown. He's the first one on the field. He's the last one off.
Ike Taylor, he's on our show for the very first time at SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show, the fastest 2 hours in radio. We'd love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter, at eRadioSports, and you can go back and listen to our entire interview, an exclusive one with Ike Taylor, at podcastarena.com. Just a few more minutes at SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. We're going to walk down memory lane. Ike Taylor, as I've said many times, two-time Super Bowl champ. What was it like, only in your fourth season in the NFL, to win a Super Bowl and experience it at such a young age? And how did it change your life, Ike?
Oh, man, I tell people all the time, I wouldn't have never been on TV if I ain't win two Super Bowls. One, because of the way I talk, because I'm from down south. Uh-huh. Two, at the same time, people just want to know how you be so successful.
Yeah.
And I work my butt off
in
this TV, in this radio. Like, people got to understand, this TV and this radio isn't easy at all. Why? Because I have to know a little bit about something from all 32 teams. See, if I'm just playing, I'm just going week to week with the guy I'm matching up with. But being an analyst and watching film study and watching tape, see the veteran guys, see the rookie guys, see the guys in their prime, I have to know about these guys. I have to do film study. So I have to do countless hours on watching tape on my computer. And that's just the process I love doing.
Well, we love your insight. We love your perspective. It was a true honor to meet you at the Super Bowl. The great Ike Taylor, former standout cornerback who played for the Pittsburgh Steelers and for 12 seasons and won 2 Super Bowl rings. Congratulations. Continued success.
Thank you so much.
Ike, I promise we're going to circle the wagons again. We want to have you back on. Thank you, dear.
Thank you, Ms. Alyssa. Appreciate the invite.
You bet. Much more coming your way right here in hour number 2 at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Listen anytime, anywhere for your Android or iOS device. All of your favorite SB Nation shows live and on demand right from your smart device. You can search SB Nation Radio in the iOS or Google Play Store. And if you don't have an Android or iOS device, you can stream us on most smart devices at SBNationRadio.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show on this Friday night in hour number 2. It is time now, in our next segment, we're going to catch up with one of my favorite guys. That is the senior writer with OU Insider, the great James Hale. We are ready to recap National Signing Day, and the good news is, if you're an Oklahoma Sooner fan, they secured a top 5 recruiting class and was a big-time winner. Good evening, James.
Hey, good evening, E. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Still in recovery mode from our very big week here in Houston. How about that game?
Well, it was a great Super Bowl, and I feel for Atlanta. They dominated the game for 3 quarters and then couldn't close it out. Shows you how important time of possession, plays run. Got to give your defense a chance, And Atlanta had so many opportunities, especially with their great running game, mm-hmm. to close out that game, to get that field goal or just keep drives going. And, maybe they got too greedy. I don't know. They also throw the ball so well, and it's not like they weren't completing balls. I mean, what was he at that point? Matty Ice,
right.
14 for 18 or something like that. So he's right in there. And, hey, you got to give it to New England because they came back and won it.
Going into that game, who was your pick? I'm just curious.
Well, I picked Atlanta to win.
Okay.
They proved it for 3 quarters.
They did.
And I still think they have better personnel, and you never know what happens next year. And when you lose, you start changing this coach and that coach, and you start doing all these things. I think Atlanta was pretty good. I tip my cap. I'm not a big fan of New England or Tom Brady, but I think he's tremendous. I think he's great, and I think the Patriots organization is great, and you got to tip your cap to them. Hey, they're the best, so somehow you got to figure out a way to beat them.
The senior writer with OU Insider, James Hale, is back with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You can also check him out online, host of KREF 10 to 2, Monday through Friday. But let's talk right now about the Sooners signing day. How did they do? It seemed like it was a bit of an offensive haul.
They did great, and actually they had a lot of balance, E. They signed 13 offensive players, 13 defensive players, and one specialist. But they did get some tremendous offensive players on their team. They signed 2 receivers out of the state of Texas that Texas fans, the state of Texas prep football fans that are listening to your show, they know about CeeDee Lamb,
yeah,
out of Foster High School, and they know about Charleston Rambo out of Cedar Hill. Those two guys, even though they did not get invited to the All-American games, and that's a mistake on those games' fault because nobody was more productive than those two guys and nationally, and they were both prolific players. And OU actually backed off a lot of other guys to make sure those two knew that that's who they really wanted. They also got the number one JUCO receiver and Marquise Brown to come in, and the number one inside big receiver to come in Calcaterra. So it's a good haul of offensive guys. They brought in 3 running backs. And, of course, they needed to do that because they lose Samaje Perine and Joe Mixon to the NFL. So you lose 2, you bring in 3, and that competition is going to be wide open at the running back spot. Their quarterback, Chris Robeson's a guy I've been watching since he was a sophomore at Horn High School right there in Mesquite, Texas, and he is a really, really good player. And they got some really good offensive linemen in this class as well. Tyrese Robinson out of McKinney Boyd in McKinney, Texas. It was the first guy to commit to Oklahoma in that class, and he stuck with it, and he's one of the elite players in the country as well. So the good thing about this class is that, 11 of those guys are already on campus and already going through workouts and getting acclimated to academics, and, they're involved in their first semester, and they'll go through spring football. then free spring football, a lot of times you have depth issues, but this really helps the team go through spring because you get 11 more guys that come into the program and really help out there. So, you know, that's a big-time advantage. And on defense, they were able to get four linebackers into the program, which they really needed, and they got a good class of DBs to come in as well. So I think Oklahoma's really happy with their class, and I think it's pretty impressive they were able to get the balance that they got.
How does this class compare to ones in the past?
Well, it's good. It's one of the better ones he's had. I'm talking about Coach Stoops there, you know, in recent time. It's the best one in 5 or 6 years. You know, it's one of his better classes overall.
Wow.
So, and one thing about this group, they were tagged Sooner, you know, they were tagged Sooner Squad 17 because of how they came together and they seemed to bond real early. And a lot of these guys committed early. They were committed for a long time. They helped recruit other guys. They would come down on visits and basically be part of the team to root their squad on. So there's some great expectations about this class because I've never seen a class bond this quickly to work social media like they did and to take social media and getting to already become a part of the team and the program like they did to another level. It was really impressive, and we'll see if it pays off for them.
You know, you mentioned James Pirine and Joe Mixon. That's a huge gap at the running back position. Can these guys step in and provide that type of production early and often?
Well, that's going to be the million-dollar question. That running back spot is wide open, and nobody really has the rep or the, you know, you can't say to yourself, you can't say right now, hey, this guy's going to be great. All of them come in with great reputations, but you don't have that Adrian Peterson type guy that's coming in. And so it's wide open. You have Rodney Anderson, who has been hurt the first 2 years. When Rodney's been healthy, the coaches have raved about him, and they thought he'd be the next great running back. Abdul Adams played a little last year and got his feet wet. Is he special? Well, we're going to find out. Then you bring in Trey Sermon out of Georgia, big running back, coming downhill. They really like him. Then you bring in Kennedy Brooks out of Mansfield, Texas, and he's the guy I'm real curious about. He was incredibly productive and sometimes carrying 30, 32 times a game, rushing for 300 yards, scored a bunch of touchdowns. He'll come in as productive as any running back they've recruited at any time, and I'm curious, but he's real smooth. He doesn't look like he's running hard all the time, but neither did Marcus Allen. Marcus Allen was pretty good, right?
Yeah.
So DeMarco Murray's pretty good, right? And he does that. Le'Veon Bell's pretty good, and that's kind of the way he runs. Maybe that's the new way running backs run now. And I think the wild card is Mycelius Sutton out of Lackawanna Community College. Say that 15 times in a row.
You can do
and,
it.
And, you know, he's 5'9", uh-huh. 197. He's set the broad jump record already at OU. He's an incredible freakazoid of an athlete. And it's going to be interesting to see if he gets into play here. So it's interesting what they've done, but it's running back's going to be a wide-open situation in the spring.
Hey, James Hale with us just a few more minutes tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. James, connect with our audience nationally. Where can they check out your work with OU Insider?
OUinsider.com. It's a member of the 24/7 Sports Network.
Yeah.
It is. We're proud to be a part of that that network that's Spot Scout now, so it's growing and growing all the time. And of course, you can always reach me at Twitter at jhale24. And Twitter's kind of an interesting social medium. So that's how folks can get a hold of me. And of course, you can always listen at sportstalk1400.com.
Oh, James, you've got lots of followers on Twitter. So talk to me about a quarterback for Oklahoma and Baker Mayfield. What will his focus be in the offseason, taking his game even up to the next level and hopefully bringing home that Heisman Trophy and a national
Just
championship?
To get better overall. And if I'm him, I'm working on things I need to do to become a quarterback in the NFL. Because if he gets better in those areas, he'll be better next year. Continue to learn how to read defensive alignment, to get the ball out of his hand quicker. He's not going to have D.D. Westbrook. So one of the keys in the spring and in the throwing sessions, in the offseason, the summer, is to develop a rapport with the new receivers that are in, who could be major players in this particular group. And, of course, Marquise Brown as well, who could be a major player. And so getting to know those guys, Baker's a tremendous leader. He has challenged the 11 new guys that are in the program. He's challenged everybody to be great right now, not in the future. Don't tell me you're going to be good 2 years from now. I need you good by opening day. I need you to be good when we go to Columbus, Ohio, to play Ohio State. Mm-hmm. I need you to be, if you're a freshman, I need you to be a junior already.
He knows his stuff. Senior writer with OU Insider. Check him out, OUinsider.com. That is James Hill. Thanks so much, James.
Hey, thanks, E. Have a great night.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're getting ready to head to San Antonio and talk about the Spurs.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell back with you at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Yes, it is Friday night. We are quickly wrapping up our show, but you know what? We've still got a lot more work to do. And right now it is time to talk about the San Antonio Spurs. We're going to catch up with longtime sports writer. He is actually with the Bleacher Report. You can check out his columns. And that is Mike Monroe. Talk to me about the San Antonio Spurs, Mike, because they are second in the Western Conference. They have won 40-plus games. And, in fact, it's kind of interesting. A few weeks ago, we had the former owner of the Spurs, Red McCombs, was on my program, and he holds the belief that the Spurs are going to surprise and they're going to win it all this year. What say you?
Well, it doesn't surprise me that Red would be that optimistic because he's that kind of guy, as you well know.
That's a bold prediction.
I may be a little less optimistic than Red, but I think the Spurs... my opinion is that the Spurs are the one team in the Western Conference that is capable of defeating the Golden State Warriors in a Western Conference Finals. There was a lot of disappointment last year that Western Conference Finals matchup never took place after the Warriors won 73 games and the Spurs won 67 games. There was that unfortunate Western Conference semifinals matchup with the Oklahoma City Thunder that didn't go the way Spurs fans wanted. But I think this year it's set up better. I honestly believe the Spurs have a better chance of making the finals this year than they did last year, in part because Kawhi Leonard has made yet another quantum leap in his in his game. Mm-hmm. And I believe, I know all the talk about the MVP is Russell Westbrook and James Harden, but I think Kawhi is positioned to make a push and turn it into a three-way race.
Mike Monroe of the Bleacher Report with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are zeroing in on the San Antonio Spurs. They are second in the Western Conference right now. And this is a team that has lost 12 games this season. Mike, talk to me. I mean, they have gone through some tough stretches. Should Spur fans be concerned? And are you surprised?
The tough stretches, well, they've been a little more inconsistent than Greg Popovich would like. But, right now they're playing without Pau Gasol. One of their starters. They lost the first game of the annual rodeo road trip when Kawhi Leonard didn't play because of some lingering issues from a thigh bruise. But they're 21-6 on the road, the 20th consecutive season of a winning road record. Next on the list of teams with consecutive winning road records, I believe, is the Clippers at 4.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing their thing, and 12 losses at this point in the season is not concerning. They do have the second best record in the entire NBA, not just the Western Conference. So I don't think there's any panic. Do they need to improve by the end of the season? Of course, every team does. That's the goal. That's the goal every season for the Spurs, to be playing their best basketball and be as healthy as they can possibly be when the playoffs begin in mid-April. So I think they're on track. Pau Gasol is probably going to return to the lineup for the final two games of the rodeo road trip I believe August 23rd and August 25th. I might be off a day or two, but. February. The trip ends in late February, and I believe Powell will be back from, he had a fractured bone in his left hand. I talked to him about 4 or 5 days ago, and he's very optimistic that he'll be back by the end of the trip. The final two games of the trip are in Los Angeles. They'll play the Clippers one day and the Lakers a couple of days later. They have had their moments of doubt, but not many. So, they do have the second best record in the league.
Mike Monroe of the Bleacher Report with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And I believe, the Spurs are a team that really, they've not received a lot of credit for the success of their season. I have to ask you, who has filled the void in terms of, Tim Duncan's retirement last year? Who is providing the leadership?
Well, of course, they went out in the offseason and signed Pau Gasol to take his spot in the starting lineup. And Pau, to his everlasting credit, said nobody replaces Tim Duncan. He's just taking the starting spot. But he's actually given them more at the offensive end than Tim was able to do in his final season. But the big difference is Pau is not nearly the interior defender that Tim Duncan was, because mm-hmm. basically nobody was, and I still think nobody is. Tim was, even at age 39, Tim was one of the best interior defenders in the NBA. So smart with positioning, footwork, timing. That's the area where they've had to make the greatest adjustment, but it's interesting because Pau's absence has put Dwayne Dedman, young 7-footer that they signed as a free agent in the offseason as well, put him in the starting lineup, and they're getting a lot from him. He's very athletic. He's a terrific defender and rebounder. And when they play with Dwayne Dedman in the lineup, they play at a little faster pace than when Pau is in the lineup, because there aren't as many post-ups. They don't run offense for Dwayne Dedman the way they do for Pau Gasol, who is a terrific post player in the offense. So it gives Greg Popovich some options as to how they play, and I think this is going to serve them well in the playoffs, because he can change things up much more readily than he may have mm-hmm. thought he could. So this is going to give opposing teams something else to think about when they scout the Spurs for the playoffs.
We're wrapping up our time with Mike Monroe. Check him out, Bleacher Report. Also, check out his new book, 100 Things Spurs Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. We got to have you back, Mike. Our time was way too short. Thanks so much.
All right, then.
That, of course, was Mike Monroe with the Bleacher Report. A special thank you to all of our amazing guests right here at SB Nation Radio. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best, the Big E Sports Show. So long, everybody.
The best trips don't just take you somewhere new. They change the way you see the world. On Wayfinder Life-Changing Travel, uncover the delights of every destination across city hideaways and crystal blue shores. Sponsored by Season 2 launch partner, Fiji Airways.
When it comes to a stopover, people don't recognize the value until they actually do it. So I wanted to see how stopping off in Fiji and doing my buffer there instead of going straight back to Sydney, how that shifted me into the mentality and got me ready for going back to real life. And, the best cure for anxiety is feeling nurtured and calm and taken care of. And I think Fijian hospitality lends into that quite well. Fiji kind of wraps around you in a way that's warmer than everywhere else. I think it's because the culture grew up centered by community.
Listen to brand new episodes of Wayfinder Life-Changing Travel on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.